is.
This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. This summer, we've been checking in with some of the towns that ring the Queen City, the towns that make the Charlotte region what it is. Today, we focus in on one of the fastest-growing parts of our region. In fact, its double-digit growth rate of 13.2% just last year is among the biggest growth rates in the nation. Waxhaw has been exploding. Residents there are attracted by its proximity to Charlotte, to the abundance of new housing, to Union County schools and Union County housing prices, and town leaders don't see the flood of newcomers slowing anytime soon. But the rapid nature of that growth has presented some challenges. How can a formerly small town keep up? How can it provide the services, the necessities, without local government growing just as fast? And what has to happen to convince businesses to locate there as quickly and abundantly as residents have? That's a legitimate concern because some residents have commented that it's easier to buy a house in Waxhaw than a pair of jeans. We look at all of this and more with some folks who know Waxhaw well. Warren Wood is the town manager for the town of Waxhaw. Welcome to you.
Thank you.
Kurt White is Main Street manager for the town. We'll find out what that means. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you.
And Jane Hunt has lived there since 1988 and is co-owner of Divine Custom Frame and Eight Legs Gallery in downtown Waxhaw. She's also the chair of the Rustic and Refined Waxhaw Promotions Committee. That's all correct, right?
Thank you.
We'll talk about what that means as well. The official website for the town of Waxhaw, which I was on yesterday, prominently displays the date of the town, 1889. What is the significance of that date? Because Waxhaw's much older than 1889.
Yeah, Waxhaw's been around a long time. It was incorporated in 1889, and the original corporate limits were 1 mile square from the depot downtown. And interesting, looking at some history with the charter that was approved by the state of North Carolina, one of the original positions that was approved in the charter was a cotton weigher. And to my knowledge, the cotton weigher is still approved, although we don't have one, although I guess I could appoint those duties to Kurt. but it was a typical, quiet, you know, southern town, agricultural-based economy.
And cotton played a role.
Cotton played a big role
in why it was there, and why the railroad runs through it.
Correct. It would take the cotton to market, yeah. So that was the nature of the origins of Waxhaw.
What was missing from your website? It's a great website, by the way. But what was missing from it was a lot of the history of Waxhaw, and you know you can't trust Wikipedia. for a lot of that history, because, you know, who knows who wrote that. But why was the town founded? Does anybody know?
Well, the town is actually named for a Native American tribe that was there up until about the 1720s. Mm-hmm. After that, it was settlers doing subsistence farming. And I think when the train came through, that really was the transformative moment for the town, which I guess could have led to the reason why it was incorporated at that time.
And the Waxhaw tribe, they had a great big swath of land. It goes all the way down to Lancaster, South Carolina, and up toward us a little bit. So it wasn't just where Waxhaw is. You're kind of the center of it, I guess. But the Indians were pretty much wiped out either by the settlers or by smallpox as the settlers came in. But you are also the home or the birthplace of Andrew Jackson, the 7th president, and James K. Polk, the 11th president, although I'm told that when it comes to one of those presidents, like Andrew Jackson, you're pretty generous about not exactly staking your claim.
Well, that was the birthplace of Andrew Jackson, and we're recognized for that. And there's a museum in Waxhaw that focuses on that and his time in Waxhaw.
So this explosion of population that you folks have experienced, how much has it grown? What is the population right now?
Well, the unofficial population is about 15,000. The state has us, and the census has us at about 12,500. But we have seen so much growth that those agencies haven't been able to keep up with what our population actually is.
So, if we went back to 1990 or 1985 or somewhere in there, what would the population have been?
About 2,500.
Let's go back to 2000. What would it have been then?
Not much more than that.
Really?
Yeah. It's been within the last 15 years that Waxhaw's really seen the explosion.
Do you understand why? What's going on there? You came in 1988, Jane. So
when I came in 1988, 75 to Monroe was a gravel road.
That's how much Waxhaw's changed since 1988.
Wow.
And I think most of our growth are a lot of people from up north have sold their property up there and have come down, and they like the country. I mean, we've got probably the highest horse population in Union County and possibly North Carolina. And so they come to have the peace and quiet and the hometown America. That's what I think of Waxhaw when I look at it. I mean, we've got parades, Christmas parade, 4th of July parade, 4th of July fireworks. I mean, it's a place to move your family and raise your kids.
But when you drive down, from an outsider driving down there, and I was down there a couple of weeks ago, I just told you this before we went off the air, when you drive down there, you are confronted with a lot of housing opportunities of all price ranges. And some of these houses are enormous, and some of them are just starter homes, et cetera, but they just go on forever. I mean, you turn a corner, there's another one. Do you run the risk of losing that country feel with this explosion of population and the housing required to take care of them?
I think our town hall does a really good job of keeping that small town environment and having an events group that puts on the things that people are looking for. Yeah, you run that risk, but they've done a real good job trying to keep it what it is and keep our Main Street alive. We're part of the North Carolina Main Street program to help make sure that we don't lose that part of Waxhaw, because that's what made Waxhaw what it is.
Yeah, the downtown is really the heart of the town, and as long as we can maintain the character down there, I think the town is going to maintain that small town feel.
We're going to talk a lot about that downtown, because you're right. That's the there essentially. But did you have time to prepare? Did you guys see this coming? This explosion of population. I mean, Ballantyne probably was the first evidence of creep toward you, but did you see it coming?
I don't think we did. I don't think we saw it coming. I think everybody, because when I moved there, Ballantyne wasn't created.
Right.
And we heard about it. And we heard they were going to do all this stuff. And you're like, yeah, really? Hey, that's really going to happen.
And I think it may have, when it did start happening, I think it scared some people in Waxhaw. It was different. It was something new. They hadn't seen that type of growth before. And maybe put some policies in place to, you know, really try to control that to some degree. But today, you know, the town understands it's going to continue to grow.
Right.
It's just a matter of how we grow and how we accommodate it.
We have a couple of newcomers here, really. The two official people here for the town of Waxhaw are newcomers. Warren, you've been in the town for what, town manager for 4 months?
All of 4 months.
I think you spent 22 years in Hickory, the last 16 years there as assistant city manager.
Yes.
What brought you to Waxhaw?
You know, I had thought at one point I would just, you know, continue my career in Hickory, but then this opportunity came up, and the more research I did, the more I liked. If you look at the statistics on Waxhaw, they're phenomenal in terms of the quality of life, the schools, the housing opportunities just on down the line. So this was not an opportunity I was going to let pass by.
You told the Union County Weekly that Waxhaw is the town that everybody else is trying to be. It's a town where there's something special going on.
Yeah.
What is that something special?
The thing that Waxhaw is attracting, or the demographic it's attracting, are the young professionals with kids, families, young families. And that is the demographic that folks in local government and in cities and towns across the country are trying to attract. And Waxhaw is doing that.
You know, we talk about the explosion of population down there from 2,500 to 13,000 plus right now. You came from Hickory, which is a little over twice the size in terms of population of Waxhaw. I think 30 or 40,000 people down there. And you say that, up there rather, you say that Waxhaw needs to think like a town of 30 to 40,000 people. Is that because you see that's where the population is heading?
Yeah, that'll be our build out, 30 to 40,000 folks, and that's the mindset we need to have. We need to have a mindset of accommodating a town of 40,000, not 2,500 people.
Wow, is there an urgency to that that you see that others also see, or that others don't see?
I mean, the board sees it; they understand it. We've got a number of initiatives going on to try to put the plans in place that would accommodate that. So they fully get it.
Wow. Kurt, you're the Main Street manager.
Yes.
For the town of Waxhaw. Surely that means more than just you manage the main street. what does that mean?
Right. So the main street program is a four-point approach to economic development that's done within an historic preservation context. It's actually a program that comes out of the North Carolina Department of Commerce and their North Carolina Main Street Center. Mm-hmm. There's actually 61 towns within North Carolina that are designated as North Carolina full Main Street towns. And what it does when you become a Main Street community is you agree, you sign on to have this comprehensive approach that's you set up several committees, promotions, design, economic development, and you work with the Department of Commerce's infrastructure, their technical assistance, their grant programs, the network that they have with all the other towns around the state, and you bring together volunteers in your community, people like Jane, and you really look at how to increase the sense of place, mm-hmm. that your Main Street has, because the theme is that downtowns more and more are they're kind of revitalizing and becoming places where people want to be.
Yeah,
and communities are recognizing the importance in having a vibrant downtown because people are looking for more than just the generic kind of any town USA look. Yeah,
downtowns in cities of all sizes have struggled since, the 1970s, when shopping centers began to take all of the retail commerce, and certainly Charlotte is a great example of that, because in the 1980s, you could have fired a howitzer down Tryon Street after 5 o'clock and not hit anybody, because there wouldn't have been anybody down here. And smaller towns were decimated by the arrival of places like Walmarts, because they just took all the business. You're fighting back. That's the whole reason for this Main Street thrust.
We are trying to pull the center of gravity back to downtowns.
When you do that, can you do it the way it was done in the 1950s? Are you looking for the same kind or a different kind of business and retail?
Well, I think that probably it's probably different from town to town, because each town has different realities. Waxhaw, its proximity to Charlotte definitely will it'll color the way that we look at development and the kind of infill that we look for. I think that we would be much different than perhaps the kind of businesses that somewhere like Tarboro, which is also a Main Street town, would try to draw. Yeah. So we look at the realities of the environment that we're operating in, the kind of demographic that Warren mentioned is looking to locate in Waxhaw, and that is how we will determine the kind of retail that we're looking for.
And if I understand this correctly, Jane, when you opened your business, you didn't open it necessarily downtown, or it was opened by somebody else, and they put it in an old house. And now are you downtown?
No, we're in an old house in downtown.
In downtown, okay.
We started our business in a piece of property like across the street, and then we bought the property, which is an old house at the edge of downtown. It's a 100-year-old house.
Okay, so does it help you being in downtown, or would you be better off in a strip mall?
Our business probably doubled moving across the street and being in downtown.
Just moving across the street?
Yeah, just moving across the street. And we are working with the Main Street program to make our Main Street like a mall, so that when people come, they can walk and shop and look at it as if it is a mall that they're in, only they're doing the outside walking exercise rather than inside a building.
Jane Hunt is a resident of Waxhaw and co-owner of Divine Custom Frame and Eight Legs Gallery. Kurt White is the Main Street manager. Warren Wood is the town manager of Waxhaw. We're going to talk more about Waxhaw and particularly about the downtown area, what makes it so special, when we come back. Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members and Donald Hack Diamonds, serving Charlotte for over 30 years with fine diamonds, engagement rings, and jewelry for all occasions. Donald Hack Diamonds, Moorcroft Shopping Village at Colony and Sharon Road, and at DonaldHack.com. In the 1940s, America joined the world at war. Countless patriotic Americans found themselves in some unconventional jobs while working for the war effort. We've all heard the story of Rosie the Riveter, but there was an even more unusual collection of women working on a project so secret not even they knew what they were working on. They were helping to build the atomic bomb, and we hear their fascinating story in an encore presentation of Charlotte Talks tomorrow at 9.
On the next Diane Rehm Show, 2016 will be the first presidential election since the Supreme Court struck down parts of the Voting Rights Act. New voting laws, court challenges, and a call from President Obama to restore all provisions of the act.
Stay tuned for the Diane Rehm Show, coming up next from 10 to noon, right after Charlotte Talks, on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE.
It's Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE and 90.3 WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. I want to thank all of my guests today from driving up from Waxhaw this morning. They started out on Monday, and they made it this morning. I'm just kidding. Warren Wood is the town manager. Kurt White is the Main Street manager in Waxhaw. And Jane Hunt is a resident and co-owner of the Divine Custom Frame and Eight Legs Gallery in Waxhaw. She's also the chair of the Rustic and Refined Waxhaw Promotions Committee. What is that?
Rustic and refined is the way that Waxhaw is branding themselves. Because, you know, every town's historical, if it's old.
Oh, sure.
So
yeah.
You have to find something that makes you
not
different.
Not Charlotte, because it's, you look.
Yeah, well. But you have to find something that makes you different. So our promotions committee got together, and we decided we have rustic restaurants, we have refined restaurants. We have rustic art, we have refined art. We've got rustic saddleback riding and refined English riding. So when we looked at Waxhaw as a whole, it became rustic and refined so that you can get the best of both worlds.
That's very interesting. We asked a question on social media this morning of our listeners. Have you been to Waxhaw? Do you live there? What do you like about the town? What future challenges do you foresee? And you can use Facebook or Twitter to get to us. Kim on Facebook has already responded. The addition of Heritage Food and Drink, arguably one of the best restaurants in the Charlotte area, is a great one. Recently opened in partnership with its owner, Paul Verica, is Provisions Food and Drink, sandwiches, salads, soups, etc. This sounds like a homie writing this in, but that's okay. Sourcing local ingredients, also a wonderful addition. What are the food opportunities?
Well, we've got Maxwell's, we've got Mama Lena's, we've got Rippington's, Provisions, and Heritage is a very, the refined side of the, and then we've got City Tavern, and that's all in the Main Street area. Oh, and then the Black Chicken.
The Black Chicken.
What, yeah, they sell sandwiches, and they're a wine, a place to buy wine.
And the Dreamweaver Brewery is coming as well.
Right. It hasn't arrived yet, but it's coming.
Right. You, Kurt, actually were born in Waxhaw, then grew up in Charlotte, Mecklenburg, went to high school in Mecklenburg. But your experience before you got to Waxhaw has been in business corridor revitalization in Charlotte, in places like Central Avenue, Plaza Midwood, Noda, Eastland, and the North Tryon Corridor and the Northeast Corridor Light Rail Extension. Can any of that experience be interpolated into what you're doing now?
That's a good question, and I think it definitely can, because in each of the areas that you just mentioned, there are areas that are experiencing profound change. Central Avenue in the Plaza Midwood area is an area that is, in the past probably 10, 20 years, has seen a lot of revitalization. And with that revitalization, that fast growth, a lot of infill happening, comes inevitable stresses, and that may be in terms of parking. It may be in terms of newer residents moving in and the original residents or the longtime residents perceiving that as a threat as different people move in. So all of these challenges, these kind of challenges arise in areas that are experiencing a lot of change. And so I think that can be translated to a variety of different environments. In Waxhaw, the level of growth that we've mentioned, a fourfold increase in the past 15 years or so, you're seeing a lot of challenges arise that are really a result of the success. In many ways, the businesses along Main Street, the downtown residents, are victims of their own success in the terms of parking is a huge issue in Waxhaw.
It is.
In terms of we know there's going to be infill development downtown in Waxhaw, but how do we do it in a way that doesn't lose the sense of character, the sense of place, the small town feel that, that Waxhaw has had. So I think those challenges are very similar to what these the other little neighborhoods you mentioned in Charlotte.
One of the things that when we talk about NoDa, we talk about Central Avenue and Plaza Midwood, these are, to me, I'm not sure this is an appropriate way to talk about it, but they're kind of landlocked. They're part of Charlotte, and any change that they're experiencing is because of what's happening citywide. Whereas Waxhaw is out there unto itself on an island up until now, and now you've kind of been absorbed, sucked into this thing called the Charlotte region, where you had 2,500 residents, some of whom had been there for a very long time, and now you have 13,000 residents, none of whom have been there for a very long time. I guess that would change the dynamic of control over what happens to the area. It's being controlled now by the newcomers, right?
Well, if you look at our board, our board members have, to a person, have been there for quite a while. So, but having said that, they understand that the demographic is changing. The town needs to change along with that. And again, it's not a matter of if we're going to grow; it's how we're going to grow and how we're going to accommodate it.
Is it a welcomed thing or is it more of a resignation?
No, it's here.
We can't stop it, so we might as well be part of it.
It's been really interesting. You know, you would think there'd be a level of resentment from the long time Waxhaw folks, but it's not like that at all. They've been very welcoming to the new folks that have arrived. There hasn't been much of this us versus them sort of.
Have all boats risen because of this? Because it seems to me when you bring 13,000 people to an area of 2,500 people, the economy is going to just explode along with the population.
Well, we've seen that's one of the challenges we face. We've seen the residential growth, but we have not seen the business growth that you would expect to go along with that. So that is something that we're really focusing on is how can we diversify our economy? The single-family residential boom that we're seeing is great, but beyond that, we need to think about diversifying our property tax
base. But your property taxes must be enormous now, given
it's 36 cents.
What I'm saying is that the number of people paying that 36 cents per $100 value is enormous now.
Yes.
What's that doing to your coffers?
It's helping our coffers, but obviously the infrastructure needs are great. And in any jurisdiction, there's never enough money to do everything you need to do.
You have said that you want to make Waxhaw a destination place. For whom?
For anyone. We want it to be a destination place from a perspective of tourism to our downtown. That's something that we're really, you know, focusing on. We think that's where we may have a large potential.
But we also want the residents of Waxhaw to see it as a destination place. 'Cause I think what's happening is, like Warren mentioned, we don't have the retail options within or sufficient retail options within Waxhaw city limits. So people are having to – they're basically leaking out to the surrounding areas, Ballantyne, Blakeney, other commercial centers, Monroe. And we want people to have the option to do their shopping, to buy their jeans within our town limits.
How far are those places from Waxhaw? For people who don't know the geography, how long does it take to get to Blakeney or to Ballantyne or to Monroe?
It probably takes 15 or 20 minutes to get from Waxhaw to Blakeney.
And in the average suburban location, because most of these people, I would think, correct me if I'm wrong, are living in these new developments that have sprung up around Waxhaw, how long does it take to get to downtown Waxhaw from those places on average?
Five minutes. Most of the subdivisions.
Let's talk about your downtown. How big is it?
Well, we actually have a North Main Street and a South Main Street that are split by the train tracks.
Okay,
actually run right through the center of downtown. So we have two main streets, and it's about three to six blocks, Jane?
Yeah, I'd say
total.
Yeah,
are there streets
on either side of the?
On either side
of the railroad.
Okay, so it's 12 blocks. If it's 3 to 6 blocks, it's 6 to 12 blocks total. Am I right?
Well, if you
six, it's probably six blocks total.
If you look at the original town limits, you also have downtown neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. It'd be it's a mile square from the railroad tracks downtown.
But when we say Main Street, that is the principal business district. Are there streets coming off Main Street that also have businesses on them?
Some, but not a whole bunch. That's probably where some growth.
Do you want that to happen? Is that what you want to happen?
Yes.
And the Main Street looks like a typical Main Street from the early 20th century, correct?
Correct.
And you want to maintain that feel.
Right. We have We have our period of historical significance is between 1888 and 1941 are the historic, what we consider the historic buildings with regard to the National Register of Historic Places. So those are the look and the age of the buildings that we are trying to preserve. And when things are redone, we want to make sure it's done in that style, if at all possible.
This in-depth investigation of Waxhaw is part of our block-by-block series here this summer on this program. And WFAE News is also participating in this. But we began on this show with Matthews, and they bragged about their downtown and about how the business is there in their downtown, which is also about I think it's smaller than yours, actually. I could be wrong.
I think it is because it's only one main street.
Yeah. But they talked about the businesses support each other, how they provide residents a sense of place. We also talked to folks from Belmont. They spoke about exactly the same thing, about what the revitalization of their main street, which was not without some political naysayers, have done for the town and for its residents and for the businesses on their way, on their main street, and for the fact that it's made them a destination of sorts for people who discover them and think, wow, what a great little place this is, and they come back for more to have dinner or whatever. You point to your main street as being fantastic and providing the area a sense of place. Talk about that.
Well, one thing is that, kudos to we have an event staff. They run dozens of events downtown every year. Lisa Hoffman and Kayla Harity, so hello to them out there. But they do an outstanding job of coordinated events in the downtown area that bring thousands, tens of thousands of people to the downtown area every year. And that's in thinking about Waxhaw being a destination, that feeds into that too.
We'll talk about that too, because both Matthews and Belmont have these events, and I think that's the key to active letting people know what you're doing and what you're all about, and to bring people in.
And we also have a huge art area in our town, influence in our town. Most of our businesses that are in town either are historical art, like we have several antique shops and a clock shop that have been there probably over 30 years. Then we have Stewart's Village Art Gallery that they've been there over 20 years. We've got the Bead Merchant, which sells beads to make, and it's a watch shop. And they've been over there over 20 years. Eight Legs Gallery's been over 10 years. And then we've got a lot of new places that are focused on either art or interior design, like the Funky Monkey, the Man Cave, Gracious Interiors. So, and then we've got Created in Carolinas, which is a new co-op art gallery. Mm-hmm. And along with that, we've got this fantastic farmer's market. So what we've recently done is we have the farmer's market on Saturdays that runs from 9 to 11. And we've recently created an open-air art and studio market that will also run from 9 to 11, where we invite other local artists to come out and on that Saturday have a tent or a table to sell their art. So Waxhaw's part of our destination thing is becoming all about art.
Which helps you. I mean, you have a frame shop, but you also have this gallery, Eight Legs Gallery, where you are displaying, I understand, art by local artists.
Correct.
And selling, not just displaying.
Right, selling.
Selling. That's the whole point, yes. You know, when you think about towns like Banner Elk, where people love to go in the summertime, and one of the things that they do is walk up and down that main street there and shop in these very eclectic shops that you don't find elsewhere. Is that what you're describing?
That is what we describe. We even have a map that we post on Facebook that shows people how they can start at the farmer's market, go to Created in the Carolinas, go all the way down North Main, cross the famous Waxhaw Bridge, and come all the way down South Main.
Every town has a little feature. The famous Waxhaw Bridge. Let's talk about this. This was built as an automobile bridge to cross that train track in, what, the 1920s or 30s or something? Yeah. It's wooden. And so now it's been designated for pedestrian traffic. What makes that so famous, that bridge? Why is that a landmark? It's a landmark.
It's a landmark. So many people stand there and watch the train go under them. I mean, it's amazing. And it's actually made out of railroad ties. And you know, Waxhaw's history is the train. I mean, that's what made Waxhaw what it is. I don't know if you know this, but where the women's club is, that was the very first Belk's department store.
Really?
And it's the tallest building in Waxhaw. And you don't, nobody actually gets to see the upstairs right now, but if you go to the upstairs, it overlooks the whole town. And when you look at the wooden floor, you can just imagine it, a ballroom where people are just dancing. It's amazing. But that's where the first Belk store started.
Is it notated someplace on the sidewalk or on the building itself?
I think probably there is a garden next to it that there's probably the Belks actually donated the building to the Waxhaw Women's Club, which the Waxhaw Women's Club has been there over 100 years, and they've been a big influence in the town.
There's a lot of history down there that you're
talking
about. You know, you hold something else you hold in common with Belmont. When they were here, they talked about how this train track that also goes to the center of their town becomes a thing for kids and adults. People set out lawn chairs when they know the train is coming and watch the train go by. and you're talking about people getting on this bridge and looking down on the train
and watching it go under you.
Do people like the fact that, because so many towns have struggled with trains coming through, it blocks traffic for the time that the train is going through, and that's an annoyance for those people. It sounds like you and Belmont have taken what is an annoyance in most places into something that's a plus.
Well, you have to embrace it, and it kind of forces you to slow down and smell the roses.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to me, that's what Waxhaw does. Is yes, we're busy, but you got this train that comes through. You have to stop talking when it comes through, and it makes you smell the roses.
Is it difficult? You're part of this Main Street program, and I think, Kurt, you mentioned there are 61 cities in North Carolina that are part of this program, which has, as you said, a four-point approach: organization of civic and business groups, promoting downtown by making it a prime location for town events, many of which you've already started, designing infrastructure in a way that enhances the historic elements of what you have to work with, and working with current businesses to remain successful while also attracting new businesses that bring, according to the Main Street organization, that bring cultural and entertainment presence to downtown.
Right.
Why is that important, the cultural and entertainment aspect of it?
I think, we've already touched on it a little bit, but I think more and more people are really wanting to live, work, and spend time in a place that feels different, that is differentiated from other places. They want to feel part of a town. They want to feel a sense of place. They want to know, you know, when you're in Waxhaw, you know you're in Waxhaw.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like Jane said, you have the train, you have the art galleries, you have that unique history of where the first Belk's department store was. And I think people want to feel part of a community, and those kind of cultural events and celebrating those sort of things, it adds to that whole.
If you live in Plaza Midwood, I guess you actually are living in Charlotte, but even if you live in Huntersville or perhaps Pineville or places like that, and you go away to say, I don't know, Chicago, and somebody says, where are you from? You're liable to say Charlotte, because people don't know where Pineville is if you're in Chicago. They've probably heard of Charlotte, vaguely. When people from Waxhaw are asked where they're from, what do they tend to say?
We're from Waxhaw.
Waxhaw.
We want people from Charlotte to say they're from Waxhaw. That's where we're headed.
Good luck with that. Warren Wood is the town manager of Waxhaw. He has some shoe leather in the game here. Kurt White is the Main Street manager. Jane Hunt is a resident of Waxhaw and co-owner of Divine Custom Frame and Eight Legs Gallery. We're going to come back and talk more about Waxhaw and what makes it special and share with you some of the comments, a lot of comments from people, when we come back. Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members and UNC Charlotte's graduate programs in health informatics, using the power of big data to transform healthcare. Details at hi.uncc.edu. The upcoming 2016 election will mark the first presidential election since the Supreme Court struck down parts of the Voting Rights Act. We look at new voting laws, court challenges, and a call from President Obama to restore all provisions of the act, coming up in 20 minutes at 10 o'clock on The Diane Rehm Show. If you'd like to join our conversation about beautiful downtown historic Waxhaw and its environs, now's your chance. You can email us at charlottetalks@wfae.org or search for WFAE on Facebook or Twitter, and we're coming right back.
One might expect to find a retail executive in the front row of a fashion show. As part of a captive audience on a tour bus, though, not so much.
Think of us as storytellers slash translators slash guides.
I'm Kai Rizdal, special tour guides, trying to keep retailers relevant. That's next time on Marketplace. We'll have the numbers from Wall Street as well. It's all from APN.
Marketplace, this evening at 6:30 on 90.7 WFAE.
It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE and WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're going block by block around the city this summer. And this morning we find ourselves in beautiful downtown Waxhaw with Warren Wood and Kurt White, who are the town manager and the Main Street manager, and Jane Hunt, who is the co-owner of Divine Custom Frame at Eight Legs Gallery. One of the businesses on the main street and also a chair of the Rustic and Refined Waxhaw Promotions Committee. Mandy on Twitter has written, and I'm a fifth-generation resident and love my town. She's talking about Waxhaw, obviously. It's full of rich history. With further growth, I hope to see leadership preserve that. We're going to talk about the challenges of preserving what you have in the face of adding more because of the need to add more infrastructure and more businesses. You have a couple of events, a lot of events, actually, that are part of this Main Street program. First Friday, Jammin' by the Tracks. First Friday sounds like something they do in Matthews. Jammin' by the Tracks sounds like something they do in Belmont. Do you guys get together on these things, or is this just serendipity that you're all coming up with similar events that attract people en masse to your downtown location on certain days of the week?
No, you know, Waxhaw actually started their first Fridays probably when we were a small Main Street program. And we've actually taken our first Fridays to make it focused about the newcomers coming to town so that we always have children events during First Friday so that the young families can come out and enjoy the different businesses.
And we also use our First Fridays as an opportunity to promote the businesses that are there.
Wow.
For example, usually we will have a ribbon cutting of some sort on a First Friday. So when a new business comes to town, any new business that comes to town, we roll out the red carpet and do a ribbon cutting for them. And so First Friday is the opportunity or the venue that we do that. This past Friday – last week we had several ribbon cuttings. A new dance studio called Creative Edge was one of the ribbon cuttings that we had. So we really use our First Fridays as an opportunity to promote and celebrate the businesses that are there.
And Jammin' by the Tracks is a music series.
Correct. It's a concert every Friday night during the summer that we have in the center of town.
Wow. You got more going on than we do. It's amazing. And then there's the Museum of the Waxhaws, because it really is an historic location, not just town, but location that goes back, as you said, to the 1740s, 1720s. What's in that museum?
Well, the museum, they are like, there's an old post office that they moved there.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, they're now starting this gold mining, because, you know, Waxhaw used to have a gold mine there. It's called the Howie Gold Mine. And so they actually have a place where kids can come in and learn how they did panning, where they would pan for gold.
This sounds like a bonanza for people with families and looking for things to do with their kids. Everything you're talking about seems
well, that's
to be...
Who's moving to Waxhaw. Yeah. That's how we have to change as businesses.
Mm-hmm.
We have to provide to them what they're looking for. And if they all have kids, you got to be able to accommodate their children.
You also have something that some of these other smaller towns have in common, and it's very encouraging to me because I'm into this. But you have a live theater company called the Storefront Theater. We had Judy Simpson Cook, a playwright who helped found that theater company on a couple of years ago. How's it doing? Has it found an audience?
Yeah, it still operates every year. Judy does a great job putting it together. And I think it'll grow over time,
mm-hmm.
But it's just something that's in a growth.
Yeah, it's hard to start a theater company, but I'm glad it's still going well down there. You also have a lot of recreational activities and places for that. Harvey Clay Nesbitt Park, you got soccer and baseball fields there. You have a skate park. Which
we just revitalized. Yeah. And I'm telling you, I have a son that started at that skate park when he was 10.
Mm-hmm.
Even at 18, he still goes to skateboard.
Wow. Not many towns have a skate park. How did mm-hmm. that come to be?
Well, Tom Risser, who was actually the founder of Eight Legs Gallery,
mm-hmm.
when he had his own skateboard park at his house. And when the town wanted to have a skateboard park built, they turned to him to help him, have him help build the skateboard park. And then when they revitalized it, they went back to him, and he helped get it revitalized.
When you've got so many people moving into an area, they bring with them their own personal needs and desires and wants, and it may not always match up with what the neighborhood or the area that they've moved to has offered. And I know that you've been really having your ears open and trying to accommodate these people. You have actually gone out and you have asked citizens to participate in making this town what they want it to be. And you've posted some of their comments on your website. We grabbed a few of them, so let's take a listen to what people say they want in Waxhaw.
I want my Waxhaw to have a new, larger library.
This is my Waxhaw, and I want my Waxhaw to have more dog parks.
I want my Waxhaw to be driver and pedestrian friendly.
I want my Waxhaw to have bike lanes.
I want my Waxhaw to bring the Carolina Thread Trail down Main Street.
I want my Waxhaw to
have more things for teens to do.
I want my Waxhaw to have more activities for my family.
I want my Waxhaw to be preserved.
I want my Waxhaw to have more housing for the younger generation.
I want my Waxhaw to have more local businesses.
I want my Waxhaw to promote an equestrian lifestyle.
I want my Waxhaw to continue to be the safest place to live.
This is my Waxhaw.
That's a lot of stuff that people want out of one area. So let's address a few. We heard people that want Waxhaw to be driver and pedestrian friendly. Something difficult to do down there, or is that something easy to do?
It's a challenge. We are starting to focus very heavily on transportation and that infrastructure in town. We definitely need to mitigate some of the traffic congestion, particularly on Highway 16 and some of the roads that feed into Highway 16. So we are in the process of figuring that out.
And when you're figuring that out, you have to think about bike lanes now too, right?
Right. Yeah, and Waxhaw is a huge destination for bikers in the area, particularly if you go down to Waxhaw on Saturday morning, you'll see
I know.
A lot of them.
We've got the Bike Depot, and those people, they're kicking. Yeah. I'm telling you. Everybody comes down to ride those back streets.
Wow.
One of the common themes you heard in the clip you just played was the need for more recreational type activities.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that Waxhaw was extremely excited about and our citizens are extremely excited about is a partnership that we have going on with the YMCA. The town's going to be buying 13 acres and putting some athletic fields. The YMCA is buying 16 acres adjacent to that and is going to be putting a facility in place. So we're going to have 29 acres with the YMCA total for recreational opportunities for our residents, which will be the first full-service YMCA in Union County.
Somebody else also mentioned they wanted the Thread Trail, the Carolina Thread Trail, to run right down through Main Street. Is that a possibility? Is that something you want to
see? That's a possibility. I can talk to something more immediate related to the Thread Trail. There's going to be the first North Carolina-South Carolina connection through a footbridge on the Thread Trail, which is going to be in Waxhaw. And we're working on that project right now. And with the grand opening of that, we expect to have dignitaries from the state of North Carolina as well as South Carolina with mm-hmm. that opening probably this fall.
So this is the first place that you can actually – these are the connection of two essential greenways,
correct, between North and South Carolina.
Interesting. Someone else talked about preserving Waxhaw, and by that I guess they mean historic preservation. They want to be able to at least maintain the character right. of the town. That's a challenge in any growing area. How do you do that?
I think the one way we do that is by working through the Main Street program. As I mentioned before, the Main Street program, while it is an economic development program, it does that within the context of historic preservation. And so built within that, the Main Street program, we have mechanisms in place to help ensure the preservation of historic structures, historic character of towns. One way that we do that specifically, the town of Waxhaw has a facade grant program. Mm-hmm. So what happens is if there, let's say you have a business on Main Street and you'd like to renovate it, but it needs to stay, but because of the where it's located, it needs to stay with that historic look. You wouldn't otherwise be able to afford to do that renovation.
Right.
The town of Waxhaw will actually provide a grant funding for that project to ensure that you can keep your business there, but do it in a way that preserves that character.
People on the radio can't see you. You're a young guy. You're obviously, I think, a millennial.
That's right, yes.
And this is important to millennials. Historic preservation is important. Why?
again, I think it goes back to what I said before. We don't, and I say we, me personally, and as millennials, we don't want to live in a anywhere kind of town.
Mm-hmm.
Growing up in kind of a more suburban part of Mecklenburg County, everything looks the same. You drive down the street, you have your McDonald's on one corner, a CVS on one end, and a gas station on the other. And while we need McDonald's and CVSs, we want to live in a place that we can be proud of, that we feel is our own, that we can identify with. And I think historic preservation is one piece of that puzzle.
The other thing that millennials want is they're venturing back into the city. They're more urban dwellers. They want to dispose of the car. They don't care about the house and the picket fence. They want to live and work and eat and party all within walking distance. But when you look at places like Waxhaw, which has exploded, you're a suburban, except for your downtown. I mean, you've become this suburban neighborhood because of all these housing developments. Can you have both? Can this be attractive to the people that want that urban experience, that walking experience?
I think it definitely can. And that's one of the reasons why I was excited to have the opportunity to come work with Waxhaw, because I see us in a – we're at a very special time right now where we have the opportunity to get it right. Hmm. We've got the growth happening. As Warren mentioned, the growth is explosive. But we've got the plans in place through our downtown vision plan that calls for a walkable community built within a smart growth framework. We've got the support of business owners and the downtown residents who want to maintain a walkable community. And so through the Main Street program, I hope to have the opportunity to help influence the kind of plans and policies that will ensure we keep our sidewalks wide, we keep our planning strips, we add bike lanes, we encourage higher density, more housing diversity downtown. To create that walkable place, I think it is possible.
You know, is this new thinking? Because for so long, small towns and Main Street locations just floundered and were almost boarded up in some cases and bulldozed and completely forgotten. Suddenly you have people like Kurt and you, Warren, and you, Jane, who have a vision for places like this that seems to be catching on. Is this something new in the zeitgeist, or is it because of thinkers like you?
I think society's come full circle with that. It's come back around to that small town historic feel.
I think that people learn from their mistakes, too. You watch what happened to other towns, and you don't want to see it happen to your town.
Mm-hmm.
I think for a long time, Waxhaw fought the growth. But when it's coming and you can't stop it, you have to figure out a way to manage it and make keep your small town. And you've seen what happened at other towns, you want to do it different. And I think the Main Street program is what gives us that leadership.
What are your biggest infrastructure needs?
Obviously, transportation is huge with the amount of residential development that we've had. From serving the public from a recreational perspective, that is going to be a huge undertaking. We've got great plans in place. Natalie Jackson, our Parks and Recreation Director, is doing a phenomenal job. The town doesn't own its water and sewer system, but there are also water and sewer issues that need to be addressed. But the good news is there's nothing out there that can't be overcome.
Who owns the water and sewer?
The Union County.
Okay. Speaking of Union County, people move there, at least home builders and realtors point to Union County schools as being a reason to move to Union County and to Waxhaw. And I'm wondering if that's just marketing or whether it's a way to get people's attention because they're so angry at CMS all the time.
Or are
the schools really better?
No, I can speak to that. That was one of the reasons that I looked. I've got three school-aged children. That was one of the main reasons that I looked at Waxhaw was the school system. And Waxhaw feeds into both Parkwood and Cuthbertson, and those are both great schools. And that is a definite draw for us. You know, folks, most of our population works in Charlotte, but they'll live in Waxhaw because of the school system.
The mayor of Waxhaw emailed us, Don Gardner, says the early wave of growth we were unprepared for. Over the last 10 years, we have worked feverishly to plan for the growth that is still in front of us. We're a small town with a big heart. All people that are drawn here value community. They are people who want to know their neighbors and get involved and make a difference. And by the way, the build-out will be closer to 50,000 people. So, wow, that's big. Criticism of the town council from Tim on Facebook. If there's supposedly a focus on keeping downtown Waxhaw vital and vibrant, then why is the town council considering almost every zoning variance request to build out the North Waxhaw area of Cureton and north into Marvin, against the wishes of the residents and certainly not in line with how the developer planned the parcels when initially submitting their plan? Anybody, any response to that? You're not on the town council, so I don't know. You can't respond to that. Jeff on Facebook, the challenges I see as a leader in the cycling community is the lack of adequate infrastructure to handle the needs of the community. Plaza Midwood and NoDa have embraced the cycling community to their advantage, and yet Waxhaw has done next to nothing to embrace the same community.
Waxhaw has definitely embraced them in the downtown specifically. I mean, mm-hmm. Jay mentioned the bike depot, the owner of the bike depot, Tilo, there's breakfasts that is hosted every Saturday morning for people to come after they do their long rides out on the country roads. We help them with their parking requirements for everyone driving in. We really try to celebrate the bike culture. We're looking at ways to provide more bike racks, more bike repair stations in the downtown to really see it as a cycling hub. So culturally, I think, and with the private businesses, I think we have supported the biking community as far as infrastructure. That I think there's still definitely there are opportunities for more bike lanes and things like that.
And I would think you're struggling to play catch up here with the rapidity of the growth. We only have 30 seconds left. What do you have to do to attract more business and the kinds of business that you want there?
Change the policies that have been in place for a number of years. The board is working on that. The board's very pro-business. Some of their policies that they inherited are not pro-business, so they're working feverishly to get those fixed. And Jane could speak. She had difficulty opening her business up years ago, and that needs to change.
And we don't have time to have Jane speak because we're completely out of time, but congratulations on the management you've had so far. We had a lot of positive comments that I didn't get to from listeners who live in Waxhaw about living there. Warren Woods, the town manager, Kurt White's the Main Street manager, and Jane Hunt is the chair of Rustic and Refined Waxhaw and the owner of Eight Legs Gallery. Thank you for the hour.
Charlotte Talks with Mike Collins.